101.1 The Sports Animal brings you inside the fight game of the MMA.
Oh my God.
With a weekly one-hour show. In the Cage MMA Radio.
Dude, this might be a bad idea.
Hosts Vince Ferrara and Tim Loy bring you a unique perspective from inside the sport. Vince is an MMA lead commentator cage side at many events. Tim Loy is a former MMA organization president and current matchmaker for Valor Fighting Challenge.
From the bottom of my heart, I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody.
Get big-time national MMA interviews, pay-per-view recaps and previews, matchmaking, predictions, strong opinions, compelling content, weekly things you'll learn, and more on In the Cage MMA Radio.
Three-minute rounds. We're underway in Knoxville.
Here's Vince Ferrara.
This is In the Cage MMA Radio, 99.1, the Sports Animal. Hope you're doing great. We're back on our regular Thursday night, 8 to 9 spot here on 99.1, the Sports Animal. I'm Vince Ferrara, co-host of this show, busy man and fight week, but his insights are critical for us to share with you. He is the matchmaker for Valor Fighting Challenge, Mr. Tim Loy. Tim, how are you, sir?
I'm running around like a chicken with my head cut off, Vince, but I get a little bit of zen here during this hour with you, so I'm pumped.
I can see you. You do look exactly like a chicken with your head cut off. with all due respect, of course. All right. We got so much to get into. Obviously, we're going to look back on the UFC last week, UFC Fight Night 25. We'll preview UFC Fight Night 26 coming up this weekend. And there's so much more happening in MMA. So let's dive into our big three stories in the sport. We'll start with reviewing what happened in Las Vegas at the Apex last weekend. The headline was Jiří Procházka defeating Dominic Reyes, second round TKO at 429. Tim, another loss for Dominic Reyes. Procházka looked really dominant. He had that air up, which there's a story behind it. His look, his style really looks like a guy that is not too far away for contending for a title.
Just a coming out party for Jiří Procházka. That was very impressive and really just a breath of fresh air that light heavyweight division needed. All kinds of fun matchups now spring to mind that we can go to and, talk about just really exploding onto the scene. This is a guy that had been offered a slot in the UFC years ago, declined it because he didn't feel like he was ready. So he goes to Ryzen and beats up a bunch of foreign fighters. And now when he says he's ready, he's really ready. Obviously, a very, very exciting performance, a brutal spinning back elbow that just knocked Dominic Reyes into the neither world. And like I said, just a coming out party for Procházka, a huge win.
How many fights away do you think he is from a light heavyweight title shot?
Well, Uncle Dana said the winner of that fight was going to be lined up for a title fight. So we'll see if he keeps his word or not. I think you strike while the iron's hot right now. You know, obviously we've got Glover Teixeira lined up with Jan Blachowicz for the title coming up, but I think you go ahead and put Jiří in versus the winner of that. You don't risk having him derailed before you get that title fight out of him, in my opinion. Now, you've also got Alexander Rakic floating around out there, too. So there's a train of thought that maybe you do a number one contender type fight between those two in the meantime. But if I'm the matchmaker, I put Jiří just immediately in against the winner. You strike while the iron's hot.
I have some thoughts on that. We will share that in our second segment. No interview today because we're going to have, we do it every once in a while. It's a lot of fun. I know you guys like it. Our matchmaking for each division in the UFC, where we'll throw out some fights that aren't already scheduled by the UFC officially that we'd like to see. A couple in each weight class in the UFC. We'll do that. And we'll obviously talk about those scenarios and what's next for those guys. Also, co-main, Giga Chikadze, man, this kid continues to deliver. He disposed of Cub Swanson. First round TKO. Man, he attacks that liver, and that liver shot sent Cub folding down to the mat, and then it was over quickly. Man, Giga was impressive.
Yeah, man. Definitely his most impressive win to date. He hasn't necessarily been finishing a lot of guys, but he definitely put that huge, the Giga kick, as they're calling it, that body kick that crumpled Cub Swanson. A lot of people thought that Cub Swanson was going to be able to get this done and get him to the ground, you know, and exploit his ground game. But I think it's going to be a problem for anyone to get Giga down, because to close the distance is a very dangerous proposition with this guy. Really, really nice win. And this is a hot week for me. I tipped everyone on Giga last week. I said that Cub style would lend him to possibly getting knocked out. So, good one for Chikadze. Really, really nice win. He called out Max Holloway afterward, but if he couldn't get him, he called out Calvin Kattar, which now that is fire.
Yes, I agree. And again, we'll get into that in more of our matchmaking, but I always like when fighters will put some names out there, whether it's unrealistic or not. I think that can only help you. It's not going to hurt you if you throw a name out there and Dana White's like, no, not yet. Well, maybe there's some heat, some exchange, some intrigue. You start thinking about it and then it starts to build. So I think it's smart for fighters to do that. All right, another fight on the card. Ian Kulaba and Dustin Jacoby fought to a split draw, 29-28, 28-29, 28-28. This one got feisty at the weigh-ins where Kulaba grabbed Jacoby by the neck right in front of Dana White and tried to pull him to him and basically bully him. I mean, that was unreal after what we just had with Jeremy Stevens. But did you like the judges coming to a split draw decision?
My wallet did, because I surely thought that I was dead in the water there. I was very heavy on Kulaba. I really thought that this was his fight for the taking. And in the first round, I mean, he looked like $1 million. He was dominating Jacoby, took him down over and over, and probably truly deserved the 10-8 round that he got there, which ended up, you know, pretty much giving him the draw. The next two rounds were certainly a different story, as Kulaba kind of gassed out, it seemed like, in those last two rounds. I had him losing those last two rounds, so I was breath held as I waited for the decision, with the draw being best case scenario, honestly.
Also on the main card, Sean Strickland defeated Krzysztof Jotko, unanimous decision, 30-27, on two cards, 29-28. Well, what'd you see from Strickland?
I like Sean Strickland, man. He's really coming up. He's a character. He can talk. I was hoping maybe for a finish here, but Jotko's hard to finish just because he doesn't really engage. He was backing up so much throughout that fight, but you know, just a very durable guy. He's a tough guy to finish. Strickland dominant. You know, I thought there was no question he won the fight. Raises his stock quite a bit here as Jotko's a historically tough out.
I think one of the more impressive performances of the night, Merab Dabalashvili, man, this guy's a machine, and he defeated Cody Stamann. This is probably the most entertaining fight. Unanimous decision, 30-27, and then 29-28 on two judges' scorecards. But even though I thought Merab was playing from in front, was so impressive, got to give Stamann a lot of credit for his effort and him staying in this fight.
Yeah, Stamann wasn't there to lose, man. You know, Stamann is a very tough guy, and it's just that he's a wrestler too, and you know, the wrestling is his strong suit, and he was outclassed by Dabalashvili's wrestling. I did think that we saw a little bit more killer instinct out of Merab this time, even though he didn't get the finish. He was certainly trying to. It's just the statement is very, 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 very durable. A good win for Dabalashvili, and I think we should be seeing him climb the rankings.
Real quick, anything on the undercard caught your attention? Orlando Marcos was complaining about losing via disqualification with that illegal upkick. It's always unfortunate when we see situations like that, but Marcos is basically saying that Pinheiro is looking for a way out. She's been obviously on the rise. I think a 6-fight win streak coming in and through the contender series. Do you agree with Marcos's assessment?
I think that from what I've been gathering, about 80% plus of the MMA community thinks that Pinheiro was probably playing that up to a degree. That said, she was definitely fouled. There was no doubt that there was a foul thrown by Marcos. I thought Pinheiro was winning the fight pretty handily all up until that point as well. So it isn't like Marcos was like winning the fight and then, you know, had it taken away from her. You know, so I do think Pinheiro probably played it up some, but I don't have that much hate for her.
Let's name our winners and losers from UFC Fight Night 25 last weekend. He's Tim Loy. I am Vince Ferrara. All right, Tim, your winner and loser out of the card.
I'm going to go with Giga Jakadze, who got that first round knockout over Cub Swanson. It's his first kind of like feather in his cap as far as a name fighter goes. And he got the finish. He got a good call out in co-main event. Definitely my winner. My loser, I'm going to go with a guy that had a draw actually in Jan Kulaba. And he's a guy that I was pretty high on going into this fight, and a draw has to feel like a loss, as dominant as he was in the first round, to not get him out of there and not get the win.
My winner, I'm going to go with guy we were just talking about, Mirab Dvalishvili. Man, he was a machine in there and so impressive. You phrased it well, outclassed Cody Stamann, even though Stamann is really good and really put together. So look for Mirab in that bantamweight division, definitely moving up the rankings and getting some better fights. And then Dominic Reyes is my loser in light heavyweight. You talked about it, three straight losses for Dominic Reyes. I mean, this guy was in the top of the division in beating the best of the best, or nearly beating the best of the best. A lot of people thought he did. And being right there, doing commercials, now three straight losses. I think he is a ways away at getting in any kind of position in the light heavyweight division once again. So those are our winners and losers. And that's number one in our big three stories. Number two is we've had another main event fight impacted, and that's Edwards versus Diaz, pushed back from UFC 262 to UFC 263. An injury for Diaz was scheduled for next week. It's been pushed back at least, Tim. We have a date on it. It's not like people are going to wonder whether this will ever happen again, but Nate Diaz, Leon Edwards pushed back a month because of an undisclosed injury, and it will be a 5-round non-title, non-main event fight now at 262. Three versus what it was supposed to be on 262. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, 262 was at the very least loaded up. So it is one of the good parts about having these stacked up pay-per-view cards as we've been getting as of late is that the card is not in the dumpster at this point. Still, it's still a really nice card, and this gives a nice little boost to 263. I'm not too stricken by the whole situation, and apparently it can't be too bad of an injury if it's getting that close of a rescheduling.
Yep. And it will be in front of fans in Glendale, Arizona at 263. So that's a positive as well. And certainly 262 is as well. We'll get to that when we talk about our schedule a little bit later. And then number three in our big three stories, Tim, it is back-to-back fight weeks for Valor Fighting Challenge. Friday night, tomorrow night at the Cotton Eye Joe back in Knoxville. Tell everyone about what to expect of UFC 81 at the Cotton Eye Joe tomorrow night.
Yeah, you know, this is one of our amateur showcase cards, and I'm expecting a really fun night. We're going to have a really nice crowd. It's one of those cards that flies under the radar because you don't have any title fights. It is a lot of debut type amateurs and guys getting their feet wet. But at the same time, those can really surprise you sometimes because those guys really get after it. And, you know, there's the nerves of fighting for the first time, which generally creates a frantic situation in the cage. So it's definitely going to be exciting. You'll get your money's worth for sure. You get your tickets at fightertickswithanx.com. You can watch the pay-per-view and hear Vince call all the action with all the good angles at vfcmma.com. Main event is Lee Radford from down in Maryville. He's going to be taking on a fellow named Michael Sullivan out of Virginia. Lee is a very popular fellow from Maryville, and will have a lot of fans in attendance. And then the co-main event is going to be Dustin Garrett taking on Daquan Sutton, the two most experienced guys on the card. They'll put on a real nice fight too.
Following week, back to Chattanooga.
Yeah, you know, that's going to be a really big card. We only get to Chattanooga about three times a year. This is a big pro-am show. Greg Hopkins defending the 170 professional title there at Camp Jordan Arena next Saturday night against Nick Martino in the main event. Plus, you got the return of Slick Nick Gertz. He'll be on the card. You got Logan Neal coming back on the card as well. It's going to be a lot of fun, and that's a huge card. We'll be getting starting early, about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, because we've got about 22 fights.
That's Tim Loy. I am Vince Ferrara. Coming up next, we will do some matchmaking in every UFC division and see what you think. Next on In the Cage MMA Radio, 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Now it's time for In the Cage MMA Radio's weekly marquee interview. Letting you hear from the personalities inside the sport. In the Cage.
Welcome back to In the Cage, MMA Radio 99.1, the Sports Animal with Tim Loy. I am Vince Ferrara. Awesome to have you with us as we talk MMA every Thursday night from 8 until 9 here on 99.1, the Sports Animal. Always streaming at 99.1thesportsanimal.com or on your free WNML mobile app or on your smart speakers. Just enable 99.1, the Sports Animal, to your smart speakers and it'll hook you up and play the station. Normally, we have an interview here in our interview segment, but today we're going to do some matchmaking. an exercise that we do every once in a while. And it's that time where we look at what fights aren't already scheduled officially by the UFC. Maybe some have been talked about, but haven't officially been set. We will fill in the blanks and mention in each division a couple of fights that we would like to see. So, Tim, let's get going. We'll start in the flyweight division in the UFC. The champ is Davison Figueiredo. We know Figueiredo has a title fight against number one contender Brandon Moreno on the way. What else do you want to see in this division?
Well, like you said, the top of the division's already kind of booked up with one and two against each other. But then, like, right below that, everybody's kind of wide open. You know, the guys at the bottom of the ranks from 10, 11, 12, 13 on, they're all kind of booked against each other. So we should start seeing some fresh blood creep up into that top seven, top eight. For now, you know, is Joseph Benavidez done? If he's not done, you know, if he's got another fight in him, then I'd like to see a guy like Tim Elliott, who is booked up against Sue Madergi, coming up, looks like in June. That would be number 11, taking on number 16. If Elliott wins, he catapults up into the top 10, and then a Tim Elliott, Joe B type fight as two guys a little longer in the tooth. It's still going to be an exciting fight. Good opportunity for Joe B maybe to get one more win. And if not, Tim Elliott gives him a signature win for one more run himself.
I'd like to see Askar Askarov, who I think put himself in a situation as maybe being the next in line for a title fight. But in order to keep him busy while Moreno and Figueiredo are going after it, I know there's some other guys that are ranked higher, but I'd like to see him in there against Kaikara France, who is at number 7. Yes, it would be an up fight for France, and it's 2 versus 7. But I think I've been more impressed with what I've seen from France. Benavidez has been there, done that. Some of the other guys have been a little up and down. What do you think of Askarov, Kakar, France?
I think it's a good fight. I think it's one of those fights where Kaikara of France kind of stands to gain more than anyone in that bout. And he's certainly a tough out, but it would be a good stay busy type fight for Askarov while he kind of treads water.
To the bantamweight division, of course, Aljamain Sterling is the champ.
Yeah, Sandhagen was supposed to fight Dillashaw this weekend, so we don't know what's going to happen with him. But Cody Garbrandt and Rob Font are set for May 22nd.
Right. So what else? Give me another fight that's not scheduled that you'd like to see in that bantamweight division.
Well, we know that the rematch will be coming between Yan and Sterling, obviously. Sandhagen was supposed to fight TJ Dillashaw this weekend, and that didn't happen. So maybe we get that rebooked. But if, you know, it was Dillashaw that pulled out of there, I assume Sandhagen's ready to go. So maybe you look at a Sandhagen versus Dvalishvili. If Dvalishvili were to turn around quick, I think that'd be a relevant match right now, especially when you look at so many of the guys that are kind of in between have already crossed paths with each other, between your Frankie Edgars and your Jose Aldos and your Pedro Munozes. Those guys have already all kind of clashed. So I'll go with Dvalishvili versus Sandhagen if we can't rebook Dillashaw quickly.
I think there might be one more fight that Merab Dvalishvili needs before stepping up to number 2 in the division. So I will say Merab Dvalishvili and Dominic Cruz. Now, Dominic Cruz isn't at the top of his game like he was, but I still think he's very effective. He's one of the guys that Merab kind of mentioned as well in the division. So I like Merab and Dominic Cruz. What do you think of that one?
I like it. I like that just fine. I think that's a real good fight, you know. I think when you consider Dominic Cruz in the equation, even though, like you said, he's not necessarily ranked up there, he has the pedigree and the name star drawing power to still entice any of these guys above him, I would think.
To the featherweight division, Alexander Volkanovski is the champ. We know that he's going to fight Brian Ortega this summer, as those two are in tough as coaches. Give me another fight or two you want to see in this featherweight division that think there's some good options there.
Yeah, it looks like it's pretty wide open right now. You know, the only fight booked right now is Ige and the Korean Zombie for June. So a lot of guys are kind of hovering around out there. What do you do with Max Holloway? Zabit and Magomed Chirapov and Max Holloway may be a good one. But there's been some rumblings that Zabit may retire already. I guess he was talking about walking away because He wasn't getting, you know, he wasn't getting booked. You know, we just saw Arnold Allen also have a really nice performance. I got 17-1 low key. I'd like to see him and Josh Emmett maybe. That's what I'm going to go with. I think an Arnold Allen Josh Emmett fight would catapult one of those guys up into, you know, the number 7, number 6 slot, and then be ready to challenge like your Calvin Caters or like Giga Chikadze just called out. I don't think he's going to get that fight just yet, but that's another one we could kind of look at is Giga Chikadze, who's coming up quickly, you know, and before he gets that big fight against the Calvin Cater, maybe you do a Giga Chikadze and Arnold Allen.
Who would you pair Yair Rodriguez up with that he hasn't fought?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, I guess you could look at Zabit potentially for Rodriguez, or you could look at a Josh Emmett as well. It's just, like you said, he's so inactive. It's hard to really to know, you know, what you're going to get out of him after being on the shelf for 2 years at this point. I really don't. That's a tough one. That's a really hard one. If you would bring him back after that long and put him right into a marquee fight against a Zabit or an Emmett, or if you ease him back in with a guy on the fringes of the rankings, like a you know, a Sadiq Youssef or maybe even a Bryce Mitchell.
I will go with Calvin Cater and Josh Emmett. Those guys haven't matched up before, have they?
Not to my knowledge, and I think that would be a good war. Both those guys would really bring it.
And you said Arnold Allen and Emmett. I mean, either one of those, I think, would be fun. It's been a little minute since we've seen Emmett, too, and he was really impressive last time we saw him. All right, let's move to the lightweight division. Obviously, we know we're going to get Conor McGregor and Dustin Poirier. That trilogy will happen in July. Charles Oliveira and Michael Chandler for the vacant lightweight title in the UFC. What's the other opportunity for matchups in that division, Tim?
This division is very unlike the others in that most of the division at the top is kind of, you know, they're all kind of lined up. You know, got Beneil Dariush and Tony Ferguson. You got, like you mentioned, Oliveira and Chandler. We've got Conor and Poirier. So if you look down towards the bottom of the top 10, a guy that isn't booked yet is Dan Hooker. I think maybe you look at a Dan Hooker versus the winner of the fight this weekend with Gregor Gillespie and Carlos Diego Fajeia. I think that's an opportunity for one of those guys to get a marquee level fight with Dan Hooker, who at this point has lost 2 in a row and kind of needs to defend his top 7 ranking.
All right. What about Islam Makhachev versus Beneil Dariush?
If Dariush beats Tony Ferguson, then that's a great great opportunity for Makhachev if he were to get that fight. Yeah.
But you're right. It'd have to be in a winner situation. Moving on to the welterweight division, Kamaru Usman. We know there's separation between him and everybody else. Leon Edwards is 3rd in this division, and he's got his fight with Nate Diaz coming up. We're gonna get Gilbert Burns and Wonderboy going to fight. What about Colby Covington, Jorge Masvidal? That's been talked about. I don't think that's officially on the books. Is that where we start?
I'm good with that fight, but I think Colby Covington's likely to get the next title fight, honestly. And then with the Wonder Boy and Gilbert Burns winner getting the winner of that. That is what I anticipate. Now, Usman's camp has been saying that Michael Chiesa deserves the next fight. I don't know if that's going to happen. I think Chiesa still kind of needs that signature win. So I'm actually going to go with Chiesa versus a Masvidal because I think that a win for Chiesa over Masvidal would put him up there in that conversation for a title fight.
And we are going to see this weekend Neil Magny against Jeff Neal. That's in the division. Who matches up with Vicente Luque? I'd like to see him paired up with somebody and given an opportunity. Who's available for Vicente Luque?
I don't hate Luque and Masvidal either. Honestly, Masvidal kind of lines up nicely with a lot of these guys. Luque would be a really fun fight with him. If we didn't do Chiesa and Masvidal, then Luque and Masvidal would be good as well. And then you could look at the winner of this Magny and Neal fight coming up, because the winner of that's going to be nipping at the heels of that number 8, number 7 rank.
Middleweight division, obviously, Israel Adesanya, the champ. He's going to get 3rd-ranked contender Marvin Vettori. Who do you match up for Whitaker? Do you try to redo that Costa fight? What's the matchup for Robert Whitaker?
I think Whitaker still is just going to wait on the winner of this title fight with Vettori. Honestly, I you know, talking to the Eugene Behrman with Israel Adesanya, he said he thinks he needs to go back into the pool and needs to go back to the end of the line since he turned this fight down next month. But I believe that Whitaker will ultimately get the winner of the Vettori Adesanya fight. Ultimately, I think Costa Cannonier would be a good fight. Two guys both off losses, both need to win. Or you could look at trying to elevate a Derek Brunson into the picture and letting a Brunson versus Cannonier or Brunson versus Costa.
I thought about Brunson versus Till also. Mm-hmm. And we do have this weekend, we have Hermanson and Shabazzian, which is 7 versus 10. So there's opportunities to move up. Speaking of moving up, we move up to the light heavyweight division. Jan Blachowicz is the champ. Yuri Prochazka just got a win, moved up 3 spots to number 2. Certainly it looks like he has put himself in position to potentially getting a title fight. Reyes drops to 5th, Rokic down to 3. I think Prochazka has been more impressive than Rokic. So do you match up Rokic and Prochazka, or just one of those wait to get Blachowicz?
Yeah, like we kind of mentioned earlier when we were doing the recap, I honestly would go ahead and strike while the iron's hot with Yuri. I think that now's a good time to kind of breathe some new life and excitement into the division. I'd go with Yuri versus the winner. If he just absolutely doesn't want to wait on that, then yeah, Yuri and Rokic would be a fine number one contenders fight.
I struggle for the rest of the rankings in that group besides him. I mean, I guess Ankalaev, you can match him up against somebody, but man, Reyes is on the slide. Anthony Smith, I don't care about the results. I think he's on the slide. It's slim pickings in the rest of that division. All right, let's go to heavyweights. Of course, champs, Francis Ngannou. We know we're going to get Ciryl Gane against Alexander Volkov. That is in June, but where else do you go in that division with Ngannou likely getting Derek Lewis next?
Oh man, that definitely is a tough one. I think that, you know, obviously we know we've got Ngannou and Lewis. I would imagine John Jones is going to be lurking coming up, you know, after that. You know, the rest of the heavyweight division is really, there's not like a clear cut, like next contender to me. There's still a lot of sorting out to do with guys that just can't quite put together a big long streak. So I guess Volkov gone winner would be the next suitable, challenger. You know, everybody else just seems like they've lost too recently.
Well, if they do Lewis and Ngannou, a lot of this depends on John Jones, because you could, if you set them up for later this year and John Jones figures it out with the UFC and wants to fight, I mean, can't you put him in there against Stipe and have that kind of big time fight? I don't know if John Jones would do that, but that would be pretty nice.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You're 100% right about that. That would work. I don't know that it will happen, but that would be, you know, from a fan's perspective, that would be great.
We will group the women's weight classes, not out of disrespect, but because there are such dominant champions that we're going to struggle in each of these divisions. Rose Namajunas, she's going to get, you would think, a rematch with Weili Zhang. But what else in any of those divisions, Tim, would be the next most appealing you'd like to see?
Well, you know, we've talked for weeks about how the 125 and 35 divisions in 45 are just not really they're not stocked with contenders at all. Yeah. So I'm honestly just going to go to the 115 and say that, you know, circle back and more or less look at who's next after this rematch with Weili Zhang and Rose Namajunas. And, you know, I'm going to go with the winner of this Carla Esparza and Jan Jonan fight, because, you know, if Jonan can knock off Esparza, and then you've got another Chinese prospect that, you know, the UFC is working hard to try to grow that market there. So that would be my pick here. And if not, you still got a good story in Carla Esparza, who's kind of, you know, made a nice little comeback for herself after kind of hitting a slide for a couple of years. Now she's had the last 3 years, she's been really solid.
Yeah, actually 4 weight classes, strawweight, flyweight, bantamweight, and featherweight. There's really no rankings.
Really is no featherweight division now. Yeah.
I'll actually throw in a fight we're supposed to see this weekend in Holly Holm against Juliana Pena. I think that would be fun to see. And another one I'll say, and maybe it's too big of a jump for her, but I'm kind of intrigued by Mackenzie Dern against Joanna Jędrzejczyk.
Oh, yeah.
That would be fun. 2 versus 5.
I would love to see that fight. I think it's a lot to bite off for Mackenzie Dern still at this point. But, you know, she's winning fights. She's on a streak. She's starting to call for those higher ranked contenders. So it may be ugly, but I'm there for it.
It's not out of the realm of reality based on the rankings, two versus five. So
not exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, a little matchmaking with our matchmaker, Tim Loy from Valor Fighting Challenge. It's fun. Hope you enjoyed that. Maybe if you have some other fights we did not mention, you want to hit us up on social media, let us know. Tim Loy on Facebook, at Vince Sports on Twitter. What did we miss? What'd you like? Let us know, and we'll discuss it on next week's show. We will do our UFC preview of this Saturday in the UFC, UFC Fight Night 26. That's next here on In the Cage MMA Radio, 99.1, the Esports Animal.
What big events are coming up in MMA?
Well, right now, Vince and Tim have the answers. This is the pay-per-view and MMA show preview on In the Cage MMA Radio.
Back here on In the Cage MMA Radio, 99.1, the Esports Animal. He is Tim Loy. I am Vince Ferrara. Awesome to have you join us here every Thursday night from 8 until 9. We will post our podcast shortly after the show is up, and you can get all of our archive shows on our website, 99.1thesportsanimal.com. You can go either to the show tab or the audio tab. Just look for In the Cage MMA Radio. Everything is stored there. Also, you can find our podcast and listen, subscribe, rate, and share anywhere you get your podcasts, whether it's Google, Apple, Spotify. Just look for In the Cage MMA Radio and you can get set up with it there. Let's jump in to UFC on ESPN 24 this coming Saturday in Vegas. The new main event, just made a couple of days ago, Tim, is a flyweight division fight with two strawweights as Marina Rodriguez takes on Michelle Waterson. Waterson coming off of a win over Angela Hill at UFC Fight Night 177 in September. That snapped her two-fight losing streak. Marina Rodriguez, she continues to impress as she beat the much-hyped and rising star in Amanda Ribas at UFC 257. What do you think about this one headlining UFC's card this weekend?
It's kind of just odd that they put this thing together. They had some other fights on the card that probably could have elevated into the main event slot, but they've just thrown this one together at the last minute. I do think it'll be a good fight. It's just kind of odd to me. I really like Marina Rodriguez here from a size perspective, and she's so aggressive, and she's a hitter. You know, she's one of the few straw weights that have got, you know, some knockouts behind her. So I'm going to go with Rodriguez here. A bit of an odd timing and placement for the fight, but you know, it should be entertaining if anything, and it is relevant.
Yep. And Rodriguez is -210. And you also pointed this out earlier off air that, look, at 125, Michelle Waterson's going to be small in this division, where Marina Rodriguez is going to be the bigger fighter.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that will be noticeable when they face off, honestly, because, you know, Waterson has always struck me as one that would probably love it if the UFC opened up an atomweight division.
Things are changing with this card that's already lost a whole bunch of really good fights. It was supposed to be headlined by Corey Sandhagen against TJ Dillashaw. Dillashaw had injury in training, so he's out. And then we're going to see Holly Holm against Juliana Pena. Holly Holm was injured during camp. Donald Cerrone was on this card against Alex Morono. He's fighting Morono because Diego Sanchez withdrew and then was released by the UFC. This card could have really used Holm versus Pena and Sandhagen versus Dillashaw, Tim.
No doubt. You know, you went from a card that was looking pretty good. I would have actually been pretty stoked for the original incarnation of this card to a card that isn't nearly as, enticing, we'll say. I really, really like to have had Dillashaw and Sandhagen this week. I would have been stoked for that.
Okay, let's talk about Donald Cerrone now facing Alex Morono in a welterweight bout. Is that now a more difficult challenge than Sanchez would have been for Cerrone?
Oh, most definitely. You know, Sanchez is kind of perfect fight for both guys. Honestly, that's the kind of fight that these guys need to be taking right now. But Morono is much more of a hitter. He's still a BJJ black belt. He's very tough. He's very durable. And I wouldn't be surprised to see him get a knockout here.
women's strawweight bout, 11th ranked Amanda Ribas against Angela Hill. Actually, the losers of the opponents that are in the main event, the last two fighters that have lost to him, Ribas to Rodriguez, Hill to Watterson, those two are matched up. Somebody is going to get back on track, we would think. Ribas minus 177, favored over Angela Hill. Do you agree with that?
I'm a little surprised the odds are as wide as they are. I think it's a very close fight, but I do like Ribas to win. I'm pretty high on Ribas. I think the UFC's high on Ribas, and I think she gets back on track here.
I am too. I like her to win that fight outright over Angela Hill. Welterweight bout, Neil Magny against Jeff Neal. It's 9 versus 10 in the rankings. Jeff Neal minus 190. He's 13-3. Magny, the 32-fight vet at 24-8. What do you think of this matchup?
Man, two very different styles. Jeff Neal would just, you know, fight ending power. Neil Magny doesn't end fights very often at all, but a very good fight IQ. He uses his length and his range to win decisions. It's a very hard fight to call, and I probably would take a stab at Magny at underdog prices here.
I agree. What about outright? Do you think Neal wins? But you
I'm going to still say Magny. Just it's hard to beat Magny. It's hard when if he's able to, you know, use his reach and keep a distance, then I see him pecking away to a decision.
I agree. Another battle of ranked fighters in the lightweight division, Diego Fajeya, ranked 12th, Gregor Gillespie, ranked 14th, Gillespie minus 190, Gillespie at 13-1, Fajeya at 17-3. What do you think?
Jump on Gillespie while you can. Those odds are only going to get worse. It was minus 170, 175. And I just think that the wrestling is going to be too much. Benil Darouche just showed kind of the game plan to beat CDF here. And I think Gillespie's wrestling is even better. Now, you know, CDF is a black belt. He'll be dangerous off his back. But I think that Gillespie's going to be salty enough to navigate that and get a decision.
Kyle Daukaus, so minus 141 favorite over Phil Hawes. Both of these guys still the really nice records. Daukaus at 10-1, Hawes at 10-2 in this middleweight scrap. What do you think?
This is a fun one. This is two good prospects. It's really kind of hard to say what we'll get out of this. But, you know, Hawes is as we've said before, is a handful for that first round, really big power. And then he kind of peters out the second and third rounds. Daukaus has showed a lot of durability. He's been in three-round wars with Brendan Allen where he's just taken a beating and kept on coming. His gas tank checks out. I like Daukaus.
Ben Rothwell, minus 112 favorite over Felipe Lins, who is 14-5 in a heavyweight bout. Rothwell, he's a tough guy. This has the makings of typical heavyweights that if they're tightly contested and go the distance, man, they're going to run out of gas pretty quick.
Yeah, I may step outside for this one, man. I don't think that this is going to be very entertaining at all. It has all the makings of a slog written all over it. Felipe Lins has been a massive disappointment. I'll go with Rothwell, but not with any sort of real confidence.
I agree. All right, undercard. You got Ryan Benoit against Zaruk Adashev in a flyweight bout. Maurice Green against Marcos Rogério de Lima in a heavyweight bout. Christian Aguilera versus Carlston Harris in a welterweight bout. Tufan Chukwi against Junyoung Park in a middleweight bout, and then Mike Trezano versus Ludoit Klein in a featherweight bout. Anything of note among the prelims?
Not really, man. There's a lot of up-and-comers, a lot of Contender Series alum, a lot of low-level heavyweights. Nothing to really speak of. I do like Tufan Inchukwi at minus 135 against the Korean fighter. I think that he should be a much heavier favorite.
Yeah, and I've actually seen that even higher odds for Inchukwi than that. And Klein is the biggest favorite on the undercards at minus 245 over Trezano. Coming up next, one person very important thinks that Shevchenko versus Nunes 3 will happen. We'll tell you who said that in the MMA Lightning Round presented by Knoxville Martial Arts Academy next on In the Cage, MMA Radio 99.1, the Sports Animal.
There's still a lot of MMA to tell you about and react to. Since we're short on time, we'll have to make it quick, but we promise it'll be good. Here's the MMA Lightning Round on In the Cage MMA Radio.
Welcome back to In the Cage MMA Radio, 99.1 The Sports Animal with Tim Loy. I am Vince Ferrara. It is Lightning Round time, powered by KMAA. They offer classes for children in self-defense, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, MMA, personal training, kickboxing, yoga, and martial arts. For the in-depth training at KMAA, many students have catapulted themselves into professional careers in the UFC, Bellator, and Invicta Fighting Promotions. They will help you achieve your goals. Call them at 865-771-9775 or visit their website at knoxmma.com, located at 4201 Martin Mill Pike. We go through the lightning round and just quick hit things and maybe clean up anything we didn't get to earlier. A couple things from last week's show, Tim, we didn't get in our first segment. One of them is that Luke Sanders lost in that opener. Did you agree with that decision for the, I guess now, former Nashville native? I'm sure he still spent some time there, but supposedly he's out there training more in Arizona.
Yeah, I did. Unfortunately, I thought Luke looked great in the first round. He was just a ball of fire. I should have gotten the finish, I thought, but you know, just ran out of gas in those second, third rounds. It's kind of a recurring theme that we're starting to see with Luke Sanders, is he just doesn't have that gas tank to go all the rounds. Unfortunate for sure.
And then also, we didn't get to see former Valor Fighting Challenge alum Jonathan Pierce, JSP, get to fight.
Yeah, his opponent, Benitez, he missed weight by I think 4 pounds. And rather than take a chunk of his money, Pierce opted not to fight, said he wasn't going to reward him missing weight with a fight. Pierce will get his show money, I assume, because he came and made weight. But it'd be interesting to see what kind of matchup he gets next, because I'd say the matchmakers are typically aren't a big fan of losing fights in that manner at the last minute. For either guy, for that said, not defending Benitez, but he does probably get a really tough one next to you.
Bantamweight matchup. There's reports that we could see Sean O'Malley against Luis Smolka for UFC 264. That probably doesn't move the needle for you, right, Tim?
No, that's a big disappointment with the names that O'Malley was calling out to get Luis Smolka is certainly a letdown.
I don't understand that. We'll see if that materializes or changes. I just feel it's going to happen. That is Valentina Shevchenko talking to MMA Fighting. She thinks that they're going to put this together. She's not trying to put pressure on Amanda Nunes, but she thinks that we will see Shevchenko versus Nunes. What do you think about the potential of a third fight with those two?
From what Shevchenko's saying, it sounds like she's open to it, but it also is very clear that no one's like rushing into it. So it sounds like, you know, when the time's right, we could get it. It doesn't sound like there's anything really super committed about it.
I think there's very little for either one in their division. You're right. Maybe they don't need to rush into matching them up because they can kind of cruise during this period and just pick fighters off and opponents for a bit. But I think eventually we need to see that, as long as those two stay at the top. It didn't have to happen this summer, but I think it's time. You got to find the right weight. Two stars in the sport, I think that would be a super fight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. You know, even though the last fight was not super entertaining, I think now people would still be game for a trilogy.
Bellator is coming back this weekend. You got a title fight with Sergio Pettis against Juan Archuleta. Anthony Johnson, his fight, what a surprise. Yoel Romero off because of an issue with Romero. Now it's Anthony Johnson against Jose Augusto. What do you think of Bellator 258 this weekend on Showtime?
I'm not that stoked for it, to tell you the truth. We do have a title fight. I think that Sergio Pettis is actually pretty live here against Archuleta to maybe get this belt. Obviously, you know, losing the original Anthony Johnson opponent, Yoel Romero, is very disappointing and a big letdown on this card.
You know, Bellator 259, in a couple of weeks, we'll see Chris Cyborg again defending her title. All right, UFC real quick. You got 262 next weekend. Oliveira versus Chandler on there. You got Tony Ferguson, Benil Dariush. It's maybe not as deep as it was with Edwards Diaz getting pushed back, but still a volume of pretty good fights on that card.
Yes. I'm still stoked for it. Even just losing that one fight, I'm not out on it. I'm still excited for it. If anything, I may be the minority, but that was one of the least fights that I was excited for. I'm not saying I wasn't excited for it, but it wasn't like the main thing.
You guys enjoy all the MMA, Tim. Awesome job as well. We will see you tomorrow night for VFC 81 at the Cotton Eye Joe. Appreciate your hard work as always.
Can't wait, Vince. Thanks a lot.
Yep, that is Tim Loy and Vince Ferrara. You guys have a great night and weekend. Maybe we'll see you at the Cotton Eye Joe Friday. Enjoy the fights, and we'll recap it all next week here on In the Cage MMA Radio, 99.1, the Sports Animal. Good night.
Thanks for listening to In the Cage MMA Radio, as Vince and Tim bring you inside the fight game of MMA with this unique weekly one-hour show, 8 to 9 on 99.1, the Sports Animal.